Welcome to The Impact Project, the best podcast for young millennials to learn about and get involved in the business of sustainability, impact investing, and all things for purpose. My name is Ray, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Lucy. Lucy, how are you?
Good, thank you. Today, we're joined by Jessica Roth. Jess is the founder and CEO of the Social Impact Hub, and in this episode, we hear firsthand from Jess her experience funding a for-purpose business and the role the Social Impact Hub is playing in solving some of the most important social and environmental problems.
We then explore how different players, including businesses and government, can work together to further drive forward Australia's impact agenda, and more importantly, how young changemakers can get involved in making a difference. Now let's dive right in. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today, Jess. We're really grateful to have you today as a guest on our podcast. And we're super excited to hear all about your journey and the amazing things you've achieved. And so I thought typically we like to start off our podcasts with just a little bit about yourself, maybe an interesting fact, and a bit about your journey to getting to where you are today. So, yeah, we'd love to hear a little bit about yourself.
Great. Well, thank you so much for inviting me onto the show. It's great to be here. So I'm a Sydney girl, born and bred, grew up here with my family. And I always grew up with a keen sense of social justice and wanting to make the world a better place. And I credit my parents and the values that they instilled in me for that. Our dinner table conversations, perhaps not your typical dinner table conversations, but my parents certainly modelled for me a strong work ethic and giving back to community in relation to time, talent and treasure. And so I was really lucky to have those values instilled in me from a young age. And when I was at school, they manifested that themselves in me taking on the role of charity captain of the school and leading our social justice efforts. And then I decided to pursue a law degree at university because I thought that was a sort of obvious, if you like, tool for social justice. And I went to UNSW Law School and it was a fabulous experience. They have small group interactive lectures. And I really enjoyed that experience where I got to actually participate. It's actually seminars would be a more accurate term rather than lectures and tutorials, where you have hundreds of students in the one classroom. That was a very distinctive and memorable part of the UNSW law experience. Then I began my career working, teaching firstly at UNSW Law School and working at the Public Interest Advocacy Centre and the Human Rights Commission. And then I went to the US, then I commenced commercial practice at Mallesons Stephen Jakes, as it then was, then King and Wood Mallesons, and that was a great training experience. I learned a lot and I worked with some really fabulous partners at King and Wood Mallesons, as it's now called. And from there I went to do my master's overseas, and I went to Harvard, and I was very privileged at Harvard to study across schools, even though I was doing a master's of law. As I decided that I didn't want to pursue law in the US and I didn't want to actually get a practicing certificate as a US lawyer, I had a lot of flexibility as to the different subjects I could choose. And so I studied impact investing, I studied social enterprise. At the Kennedy School, I studied their flagship leadership course. I looked at issues of social change, and it was a fabulous experience. I learned so much, both in relation to content, obviously, but also in relation to pedagogy. I'd always been interested in pedagogy, and I took a couple of courses just because of the amazing professors that were teaching them rather than the content. So I learned so much from many of the distinguished professors at Harvard in relation to educational models. And one of the courses that I did was the Human Rights Clinic. And in the Human Rights Clinic, I worked on a business and human rights project where during my time in the clinic, we actually spun out a social enterprise from the clinic to be a standalone social enterprise. And it was an amazing experience as a student to work on a real project that was making a difference under the supervision of experts in the field. But you really had that hands-on experience in an academic context. And we set up a new organization called the Institute for Multi-Stakeholder Initiative Integrity, a bit of a mouthful, but MSI Integrity for short. And it was focused on assessing the impact and value of multi-stakeholder initiatives, because governments and business spend huge amounts of money on these initiatives as alternative forms of regulation, if you like, in certain sectors like manufacturing and the welfare of people in factories, like diamond mining with the Kimberley process. So these sorts of voluntary multi-stakeholder initiatives exist in different sectors, and this social enterprise was focused on working out whether they actually delivered any value and whether they were a viable alternative for government to regulation. And it was a fascinating project, working in a team under the supervision of experts, and that was the inspiration for the Social Impact Hub. So when I came back to Sydney, I pitched this concept of students working on real projects while at university under the supervision of experts to the university and the UNSW Law School. Full credit to David Dixon, gave me a pilot group of students under an internship course code to trial this program with. And I was a known entity as a good teacher at UNSW Law School, as I taught first year law students for a number of years. But this was a brand new initiative, and we thought that it would appeal to commerce law students, which make up the majority of combined law students at UNSW Law School, because there are very few experiential law opportunities that operate at the intersection of business and law. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I created with the Social Impact Hub. And those 9 students, I'm still in touch with many of them, and they had a fabulous experience. They worked in 3 teams on 3 different projects. Can share with you a little bit about those projects if you're interested.
I'd love to hear that,
Okay, great. Well, those 3 projects. So the first one was with MSI Integrity out of Harvard Law School. So that was a great project, continuing that work that I did at Harvard. The other 2 projects, one was looking at the Benefit Corporation legal certification and legal structure, I should say, and the lessons from the Benefit Corporation legal structure in the US and how that could be replicated in Australia. And we did that project in collaboration with B-Lab Australia, which has just grown from strength to strength since that time. And they've continued to advocate for a Benefit Corporation in Australia and show people how they can amend their constitutions to change the duties on directors to take into consideration the interests of all stakeholders and not just shareholders, which is fabulous, and for companies to actually create public benefit rather than just shareholder value. So that was the second project. And the third project was looking at the Investment Contract Readiness Fund in the UK, a £10 million fund that was all about capacity building social enterprises and helping them get ready to take on impact investment and procurement contracts from government. And we looked at the lessons from that experience and how it might be translated to the Australian context. And that was a fabulous project, very interesting. We don't take credit for it. It's definitely, there's no attribution to the work of the Social Impact Hub. We're definitely not solely responsible, but it was very gratifying when NAB and some philanthropy put $1 million in to seed the Impact Investment Ready Growth Grant Fund in Australia. And Social Impact Hub has become a leading provider in that fund to help support social enterprises to get impact investment ready. And it's been a fabulous initiative, so critical for the social enterprises that it's supported, for the providers that have participated in it, like the Social Impact Hub, and for the impact investment market as a whole in growing the impact investment market. And now the government's Sector Readiness Fund actually funds the Impact Investment Ready Growth Grants, which are administered by Impact Investing Australia. So it's wonderful telling the story of those first 3 projects. They are 3 areas of work that we have continued over that time. We've continued capacity building social enterprises to help them achieve impact investment, secure that capital. We've continued our advocacy around the purpose of business and using business to benefit all stakeholders and not just shareholders. And we have continued some of our work in relation to business and human rights as well. So they were the first three projects with those 9 students, and then we expanded from there. And we took business school students, both undergraduate and postgraduate. We expanded our client advisory work. And sort of to summarize the last 6 years since I established the Social Impact Hub, we have really diversified and become a true hub, doing all sorts of different things to drive positive social change. We have many education programs now, both for students and for not-for-profits and social enterprises. We have a whole suite of advisory services now, many of which are delivered by our professional impact network of consultants who are fabulously talented professionals working to support the social sector. And we also continue our thought leadership initiatives to try and grow the social enterprise and impact investment sectors, and our community building activities that also help us mobilize more capital for impact. And that they are now our 5 pillars of our work.
Yeah, it's amazing. I just think Lucy and I were looking at the website just before, you know, reaching out to you, and it was just sort of mind-blowing all the different things you guys do, and we're just sort of trying to understand, oh, how does this all come together?
Yeah.
And so it's really incredible just the, I guess, the breadth of different services that you guys sort of, and areas, I guess, that you work in at the Social Impact Hub.
It is broad. You're right. It is broad, but it's all impact-focused. We won't work with any organisations that don't have integrity around their impact. We have worked with large corporates, and we value those relationships greatly. It's normally with their foundation or their community engagement arms who are focused on delivering great experiences for their people and actually having positive social community impact. So that sort of a narrowing criteria of who we'll work with. And we need to really believe they're in it for the right reasons to want to work with them. And then obviously we'll work within the capability and skills of our professional impact network to do it. And we have a specific expertise in impact investment readiness and mobilizing capital for impact. But our services are, as you say, much broader than that. As long as they're in pursuit of our bigger mission, we'll take it on. And in terms of what we proactively drive in our proactive initiatives, we are always trying to fill gaps in growing the sector. We try not to duplicate what other people are doing, and we always try and work collaboratively with others to try and have as big an impact as we can.
I assume it must be such a journey going from starting the Social Impact Hub and growing to where it is today. I'm just curious, what were some of the, I guess, biggest challenges that you've had along the way?
That's a great question. So I think the story of the Social Impact Hub over the last 6 years is primarily one of growth and impact, but there have certainly been projects that haven't necessarily delivered on the intended impact. We haven't had many projects that have been failures in the sense of causing unintended impacts that are bad. So that's good, but sometimes we haven't quite achieved the reach or the impact that we had hoped. And sometimes I think another challenge has been where we've strayed outside of our expertise. So we're probably not, there are certain things that we're not great at, and we shouldn't do those things. So we've refined our areas of expertise and focus over time. And I think in general, it's been a really exciting journey, and one where some people might at times, looking from the outside, say, well, it's unstrategic, some of the things that we've done, but I think certainly on the inside and over time, we've charted a course through the challenges that has been one where we've tried to fill the gaps and have the maximum impact that we can with the resources that we have, which is obviously an ongoing challenge.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine, especially for our social impact, because I guess in Australia, the industry is still growing, right? And it's come a long way in the past few years, but still growing and I guess getting off its feet. And so
yeah,
I think
that's exactly right. The industry is growing. It has grown a lot over the last few years. And our approach is really about market building and about collaboration to market build, because we see perhaps a good analogy is a rising tide, and we want to try and help that tide rise and lift all the boats working to rise that tide. And so we want to try and work collaboratively with other people to grow the social enterprise and impact investment sectors as quickly as we can, so that impact investing becomes mainstream and everybody is considering profit and impact in tandem and not necessarily trading off one for the other or prioritizing. But triple bottom line is part of the way of doing business. And we are not, there's not externalities that are just separate to the assessment as to whether to proceed with the deal or proceed with an investment or not. At the moment, that is the case, and we rely on people's good hearts, if you like, to do good. And hopefully, as more and more people are aligning their investments with their values and realizing that it's actually good business to look at these macro trends like aging population, growing population, therefore needing to feed more people with less land, we're going to have droughts and floods, and like we are going to need to be more efficient with our water. We're going to need to educate more people more cost effectively. So these big trends, healthcare, education, ag tech, et cetera, they're all growth sectors for the economy in general. So we really are a beneficiary and also a participant in the massive market growth in this area.
Mm. And I guess going off your point about lifting all boats with the rising tide, how do you sort of see from your experience working in this space, I guess the different parties, say, for example, the impact sector, the for-profit sector, the government, I guess, working together to drive forward a lot of these, I guess, this impact agenda in solving some of the world's most important problems? And I guess, how would you like to see this relationship evolve going forward?
It's a really good question. So we have collaboration as a core value at the Social Impact Hub, and we consciously try and bring these sectors together. So I'll give you an example. Our Scaling Impact Accelerator program for social enterprises that working towards impact investment readiness is a fabulous example of the collaboration across sectors. So we had philanthropic funding from the Sydney Meyer Fund, very generous philanthropic funding for the Sydney Meyer Fund, which was actually organisational capacity building funding for the Social Impact Hub, which is amazing funding where there's a great relationship of trust with the Social Impact Hub and giving us the freedom and flexibility to use the funding in the best possible way to achieve organisational impact. And that's very generous and wonderful of philanthropy to give that sort of capacity building funding to organizations that they believe are doing great work. We were then able to leverage that funding to secure government funding through the Entrepreneurs Program, so the Incubator Support Initiative, to set up a new accelerator program for social enterprises who want to raise impact investment. And we brought EY to the party as well. They've contributed to the program in so many ways, in hosting events, in providing their people to run amazing business clinics and provide tailored advisory support and mentoring to the enterprises. They've been a fabulous corporate supporter of the program. And a huge impact of their people in addition to their financial contribution. The financial contribution pales in comparison to the huge amount of pro bono support provided by their people, which has been truly remarkable. And so that's a really good example of bringing together philanthropy, government, and the corporate sector to help social enterprises grow and scale and progress on their impact investment readiness journeys. So the RISE program we're running is another good collaboration example. So we are enabling corporate mentors to support social enterprises that have been affected by COVID and mentor them over a few months, either on a specific project or the enterprise in general, to help them address the strategic challenges they're facing as a result of COVID. And so we had Westpac Foundation as the initial supporter of this, and now the Paul Ramsey Foundation has joined the Westpac Foundation in providing the fundamental budget for the program to fund our coordination of it. But then with that budget, we're able to leverage huge amounts of corporate pro bono support to help support social enterprises. And again, we are trying to engage government in that program as well. So they're exciting collaborations. I'd love to see more cross-sector collaborations. I think in general, as an Australian society, those collaborations will become easier as we have more people who have worked across sectors. I think that's one thing. It's not many things, but it's one thing we could learn from the US that they do have. It's much easier to move across sectors. So when there's a change of administration in the White House, everyone turns over. Yep. And you'll have a clear out of all the Harvard professors and they'll come back. And like, you do have this movement between academia, between government and between business across the three that's much easier for people to make. I think in Australia it is much harder for people to move across sectors, and I hope that that is changing and more people will have some years in business, some years in government, some years in academia, be able to draw on their business experience in academia. Yeah. And have students benefit from all of that. And we're seeing that with professors of practice coming in as a new trend. And hopefully we have more people with business experience coming into government. So hopefully as more and more people work across sectors over their careers, it will make the collaboration across sectors even easier.
I think going off that, another topic that we'd like to talk about with you is education. We know that you guys are very involved with the university spaces, and I heard that you guys were collaborating with universities like UNSW before to involve more students into learning about impact. So I guess for many of our listeners who are still university students, what are some of the ways that they can connect with you guys?
So the very sad answer to your question is that our programs with UNSW have been a casualty of COVID. And the massive budget cutbacks that the university has had to make, given the limited number of international students that are currently on campus and enrolled. And so unfortunately, if you asked me this last year, I would have said, enroll in the social entrepreneurship practicum and you can work with amazing organizations who are doing fabulous work to make the world a better place under the supervision of our fabulous Professional Impact Network members. So I would have said, enroll in the course, but unfortunately no longer, given COVID, and that's very sad. We are working on a new program, which I can't really talk about too much today, but follow us on social media, on LinkedIn and on Facebook and on Twitter. And when we open applications for that program, we look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, awesome. I think, I guess, speaking from the perspective of a uni student, I think so many of us out there want to do good with the skills we do develop in uni and at work, but I think sometimes it's often maybe not too obvious as to the channels through which we can actually go about doing that. And so it's obviously really great to hear about opportunities like this and organizations like the Social Impact Hub, which do offer, I think, you know, new graduates the opportunity to do that. So yeah, no, really excited
It's a really good point about the channels you can use to do good. So I can make a couple of comments on that. The first thing is what you do with your time, right? And that's the channel that you're approaching it with. So which courses you can do and what you can do extracurricular. So you can volunteer for 180 degrees consulting or Enactus and do things extracurricular for good. You can also think about, there's a fabulous program called the Observership Program, which enables young graduates to apply to be an observer on a not-for-profit board and develop those sorts of skills that make up a good director of a not-for-profit. So there's what you do with your time, which is one thing. And then obviously you need to consider what you want to do as your career when you graduate and how you can embed purpose and meaning in whatever you choose to do. But I just want to point out that you can think of the ways you can create impact as even broader than how you use your time. So you are all shopping every week, buying food at the supermarket. So you can look for products that are B Corp certified, that are fair trade certified. Like, you can make your own conscious consumer choices. You can look up Good On You when you're deciding what clothes to buy and look at their ethical supply chains or lack thereof. You can be conscious of your decisions when you order food in a restaurant. You can eat less meat, eat more vegetarian because of the impact of meat on the planet, if that's what you're concerned about. And even if you may not be wealthy in the sense of having lots of spare cash to invest, most young students do have superannuation funds, because if you've had a job, then your employer has been obligated to put 9.5% into your super fund. Do you guys have super funds?
Yeah.
I don't have it.
So think about where that money is invested. So you can pick an ethical super fund, or you can pick the impact option in your super fund. So you can either move funds or certainly move your choice of investment options in the fund to help the investment managers know your values and where you want your money invested. So I think it's really important to consider what you're doing with your time. That's obviously really critical and most important, but it's also really good to think about yourselves as whole humans and all of the actions that you take every single day, and how you can have an impact through those actions. So when you shop, when you eat, where you invest your money, where you choose to buy presents, Christmas presents for your friends or for your family. All of those are choices that you make every single day where you can have a greater impact.
Mm-hmm. I think that's just amazing advice in terms of really taking the initiative to embed your values in your everyday decisions. And so I hope, you know, a lot of our listeners find that really useful. And I think we just wanted to wrap up with maybe a little, I guess, recommendations piece from yourself. If we're wondering if you had any resource recommendations or books or, I guess, final words of wisdom or advice for our listeners out there who either are interested in getting involved with the impact space or are just curious and want to learn more. Yeah, we'd love to hear any recommendations that you have.
There's so many. I could give you a whole reading list for summer. You wouldn't get through it. I've been very privileged to be in this sector quite a long time now and have been reading books and listening to TED Talks and things since I first started studying in Harvard. So there's been so many fabulous things written over the last 8 years. If you're interested in learning more about the space, consider subscribing to the Stanford Social Innovation Review. They are the leading regular publication, if you like. And closer to home, Dumbo Feather has fabulous stories of extraordinary people every quarter. And you can read these great inspirational interviews with all sorts of people doing amazing things around the world. So that's a great gift for someone for Christmas. In relation to those of you who are more visual and like to listen to TED Talks, if you want some provocations of people who think differently and might challenge your existing thinking, there are two TED Talks that I've taught over the years and the students have always found so interesting and thought-provoking. One is Dan Pallotta's TED Talk, "The Way We Think About Charity is Dead Wrong." Everybody has almost universally said that it's challenged the way they've thought about giving to charity. They've made different decisions as a result. And so I would encourage you all to listen to that TED Talk if you haven't already. And the other one that I would recommend all students have a listen to is Peter Singer's TED Talk, because as many of you are thinking about your careers and what you might want to do, his concept of effective altruism is really interesting and thought-provoking. And so I would suggest that you listen to his TED Talk, or you can read his book if you want the long form. But he's a very interesting philosopher that might challenge your thinking about what you want to do. So there are two TED Talks that I've taught for the last 6 years, and the students in my class have always found really interesting and thought-provoking. So that's a recommendation, not just from me, but from your peers.
Well, thanks so much again, Jazz. It's been absolutely wonderful talking to you, and both Ray and I have got so much out of it, and I'm sure our listeners will as well. And I think that's...
Well, yeah, I think we were looking forward to this interview for a while, so it was great to finally have it. And, you know, thanks so much for your time as well. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you learned something new and enjoyed the episode as much as we did. While you're here, feel free to follow us on social media at our Instagram account, The Impact Project.
The Impact Project podcast and the persons involved may have positions in the companies mentioned. This is general advice only. Please speak to a financial professional to understand how they pertain to your individual situation.